Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship that day tonight?
I'm going to flip like this. Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Duneland Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Fosterson. Joining me as always is my wife, Dawn. Dawn, how are we doing tonight?
Hi, Elliot. It's just been such a fun weekend.
It has been. We're hoping that our technology is functioning. We're going through a little bit of complexity here with the website, but we're hoping that it's all coming to be. But we've had a wonderful time this morning at the state park.
But if you're wrong, you won't be hearing any of this.
This is how this goes. But we're hoping that you're able to join us for tonight's conversation. We're going to be working in the book of Hebrews. We just had a beautiful weekend, both weather-wise and spiritually, as we had an opportunity to share in discussion a couple different perspectives on our passage in Hebrews as we're working through this today. So it's going to be interesting to see where it takes us today. Looking forward to our conversation. And Dawn, is there anything you want to talk about since this was our last Sunday at the state park?
Well, it sure was nice to have the state park folks show up and take a few pictures and have some conversations so we understand a little bit better about what we need to do to let folks know that we're there in September. So I was happy about that because I think that there are folks who would want to attend, but the structure, the way it was just a little bit loose, so our attendance was pretty low for September.
Yeah, but it was a good group of people, people that have joined us from the community, which has been a blessing all year long. So that was nice to have. And, you know, to your point, though, Dawn, you know, it was interesting in that conversation that although the park, you know, has to walk that fine line of what they can accept in terms of faith formation issues going on in the park, they were allowing us the space to do that and giving us encouragement to continue to do the things we're doing. You know, so we're going to see what we need to do, take on more of that responsibility ourselves next year to ensure that what we've started to do with, which is extending the program, which is part of the issue here, is that we had said 2 years ago that we wanted to extend the program through the, at least through September, because the park campground still has a lot of participation in it. It's a beautiful time of year.
Yep.
People get a chance to still get out and enjoy the sunshine and what God created the campground. And today was just one and the same. So it was a joy to be there. But we're happy to be with you tonight, and we're hoping again that this is coming across. We're looking forward to a wonderful conversation. And before we do, Dawn, you had selected what song did you select, Dawn?
Praise You.
Praise You in the Storm, which is really going to be an interesting part of our conversation today, as well as we talk about the issue of perseverance and preparation, patience, and understanding of what happens in the world with us today as we await God's glory or seek God's glory. So let's go ahead and listen to Praise You in the Storm.
I was sure by now, God, that you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still the thunder rolls. I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I am with you, and as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I stumbled in the wind. You heard me cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God we give and take the whole way.
That's a beautiful song, and we just really appreciate that we had that opportunity to record that and publish it and get it out to the folks out there through YouTube. So if you're interested in listening to that song and some other time on your own, it is posted up on our YouTube site at dclnetwork.org, YouTube/dclnetwork. You'll be able to find the link there. Just do a search for either Praise You in the Storm or Duneland Christian Living, and you'll find Dawn's wonderful song.
Fabulous
there.
Version.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. So we're going to talk our way through Hebrews at this point in time. We're dealing with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 36, but a quick background on Hebrews. It is an unknown author, although it is ascribed normally to Paul. The modern-day scholars see evidence that it's likely not Paul at this point in time, and quite possibly could be any number of writers, which includes people like Luke with the gospel. Luke, who was a follower of Paul and with Paul at the time, the writing of this took place somewhere around 70 AD or just before then, or just after that. And it is something that is written in the format of a sermon, if you will. It is considered to be more refined, which is not stylistic of Paul, which is why it goes away from Paul. So, you know, likely characters that could have written this include Barnabas, it includes Luke, it includes Clement. who also, by the way, had written a similar epistle with a very similar theme during that time frame as well. At this point in time, and it's best to say that it is an unknown writer. There's also another theory out there that it was a woman writer by the name of Priscilla, who was one of the recognized 70 that were commissioned by Jesus, one of the disciples that were commissioned and sent out to do the work, who was considered to be a teacher. And if it was her, it is likely that although the way the manuscript reads and being with male origin in terms of its verbal uses and its contextual nature, was probably concealing the fact that she was a woman. So there's some evidence and a theory going on that way. But in either case, Priscilla was considered to be a teacher and possibly even held the title of pastor. So with that as our backdrop, the author is unknown, but it is clear that this is a letter of encouragement to the Jews at the time in either Palestine or possibly in Italy too at the time. And what it is that what was going on is through the persecution that they're experiencing in it as an early church. Many people were turning back on their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And the writer wants to reaffirm that the only true faith is through Jesus, and that that is the old ways, and those old ways have gone. Now the Son of God has come into the world and given himself as a sacrifice for the world. So the issue here is an issue of encouragement through perseverance. Perseverance in your faith and holding steadfast in that. So that's kind of our backdrop for this conversation. Dawn, you want to lead us forward?
Sure thing. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised.
And one of the things that's interesting to note, and this can be perceived, and we've had a number of conversations this weekend regarding the steps, it may lead some people to give consideration to the issue of works versus God's grace. And I want to address that right up front, because I don't believe that that's anywhere in this text. Although it can be interpreted in that way, I don't think that's the intention of the author here, is that somehow you can achieve God's glory on your own. This is truly an issue of God working through you. This is truly an issue of God's grace overflowing through you. And the natural expectation is that when God fills your heart and soul with his love and mercy, you will freely give that to others. And that then becomes the glory of God working into fruition to you.
What if all they're saying is that the will of God is that you have faith?
Help me understand where that comes from.
Well, because when you read it and you said you weren't sure that it was about doing work, but yet it says, so when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. I'm saying, what if all the will of God is that you believe?
Because Jesus gave us examples of how we are to respond physically in the world as well. And I think the part of the issue of having that faith is to be able to have the confidence to do that will and to do the hard work, to care for others and to lift them up, to be his eyes and ears for healing and for comfort and for support. So I think it goes a little bit beyond, just the issue of faith and the expectation. Now, the important issue is we've always talked on, and I think this is to the heart of your point, is that the issue is you have that relationship with God. That's the root of everything. That is the seed of everything. It's better off that way, I would like to say it, because it's that seed then that produces the fruit of God's will work in the world. And that's where we become his eyes, his hands, his ears, and so on and so forth. So I do think there does take on that physical characteristic around it, but it's not to achieve anything other than God's glory. It's not for anything other than God's glory. And it's not that we can win God's glory by having done something on our own. It's only by acting under his direction and with his authority and within his will that we can do anything. And that's where I think the author really goes to in this text. So with that, let me put a couple of things out there for you to help frame the overall discussion. We hear in the Gospel of Luke, stand firm and you will win life. A very similar theme, and this is also one of those reasons why Luke possibly could have been this author as well. The writing style is very similar to a lot of Luke's writings, and this theme of standing firm and having strength and confidence seems to be a theme that he brought forward in his gospel as well. So we hear later in Paul's letters to the Romans, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And then also earlier we hear to those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and mortality, he will have eternal life. Dawn, were you about to say something?
I just wanted to know if you wanted me to get you a drink.
Oh, no, I'll be okay. I just had a tickle. Thank you. And then later in the book of Hebrews here, in the letter of Hebrews, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has promised. And then James, we hear, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance then finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And I think this goes further to your thoughts on, is the completion of our faith is that we live it, and we don't just sit back and hold on to it. It's a faith that calls us and compels us to respond in the world just as Jesus responded to the world. And I want to encourage us all with that. You know, in light of today's world, though, you know, we see, you know, the challenge is an issue. And I threw this out to our group at the Dunes this morning. It's a harsh issue to deal with, but it is a real issue, I think, on the sense of if we were put to the test and challenged for our belief in Jesus Christ, would we have the faith and confidence in our faith to die for that? You know, and we look at those beheadings that took place earlier this year, and the question that was asked, you know, do you renounce Jesus Christ? Do you renounce God? And you know, and you will save your life. And, you know, put up to that same test, would we be willing to die and say that we believe? And, you know, I love to think that we all are in that mode of responsibility towards our faith, that the answer is obviously yes. But really, when we get down to the fact that we can lose our life in this brief second, is that something we're ready to give up?
Part of me wants to think that the world has changed from historically when you would have heard more of that happening. But the reality is we are still hearing about this today. And it kind of makes you take a step back because we're working hard on improving our relationship with Christ and on being faithful. And yet I don't think that we still think a little touch of ourselves.
Well, we think a little bit too much of ourselves, but we also think too much of this world, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to give this world up. We enjoy what we have. We enjoy who we have. We enjoy the things we have.
Most times,
right?
Days, yeah.
You know, and I think this is an important issue. This is but a nanosecond in our entire life, and we've been promised an eternity with God in heaven. So why are we so willing and so desirous of having this world go on forever when we know there's this other opportunity for us that seeks us and draws us closer into this eternity that's of glory and justice and freedom and peace. You know, so why do we seek to hold on to everything so with so much faith today of what we believe in and what we have in terms of physical things, family life, and others? So this is the challenge that we have. Or, you know, we look at this, and the world's going to continue to, because the world is broken, the world's going to continue to throw these challenges at us. You know, the issue of caring for loved ones that are going on in their age and are now in care facilities or in other specific care needs that require more and more of your attention as they go through a latter part of their life. You know, this is a daily challenge. But I also venture to say that for most people that are experiencing that kind of caregiving for a parent that's in that stage of life, they're also finding another source of strength and another source of understanding about the fullness of life and the meaning of life. And that although it's frustrating, although it's difficult, although it's challenging, and although it's not where you want to be doing the things you expected to be doing at this point in time, you probably also are finding ways to see God at work within that relationship. You know, as hard as it is to care for a loved one that's dying, to care for a loved one that's aged, there is a different kind of understanding of God's presence that can come from that if you have the patience to endure and the patience to look for it.
It's really about how you approach it.
Yeah, and that is it exactly, right, Donna? We're willing to stand confident that this is just a challenge, just a trial, just a test, and that beyond this, whether it's this week, next year, or 10 years from now, the trial will be over and the test will be over and glory, God's glory will be had. You know, this is the hard issue. We want heaven on earth today, and we want to live to have that heaven on earth today. And although we are to serve God to help make things happen in the world that give people hope and that give people reason to believe and reason to have strength and confidence in Jesus Christ, this isn't our destiny. Our destiny is not this world. As we all learned and we all have seen and heard through the passing of loved ones, we go through that scripture verse and that unfortunate set of words where, you know, dust we come from and dust we will return. You know, this is just a physical body. Our spiritual bodies will go on, and we'll have eternal love with our loved ones forever.
That's interesting, too, because you think about how much value you do put on your body and how hard we all work at taking care of our body. So our haircuts, our getting our teeth done, our getting our leg repaired if we happen to have broken it like someone I know. And yet it's really inconsequential.
Well, yeah, if you can bring yourself to that point, the problem is we can't always do that easily, can we? We always get
caught up.
Can't
even remotely almost do that.
Yeah. You know, well, we get caught up with the anxieties of the world today. We get caught up in our frailties. We get caught up in our hurt and our pain. You know, all sorts of those.
And God has plans for us. We have to have a healthy body to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. God does have a calling for us to fulfill his will while we're here in this world. But I think as we get down into this, we really are trying to address the issue of having that confidence that regardless of what happens to us today, regardless of what has happened to us in the past, and regardless of what's going to happen to us in the future, the victory has been won by a gift of God's sacrifice in Jesus Christ. We have that pathway to eternity and life in heaven with him. So we need to be able to stand fully and trusting in that, understanding that that is the victory, that that is where we are ultimately going to be. And be able to resist the challenges of this world, to be able to resist the evils of this world, to be able to resist the drawings and the trappings that pull us apart from our faith and pull us apart from our relationship with God. This is where the world is today, and this is where the world wants us to be. The world doesn't want us to have that confidence and trust in the Lord. The world wants us to have confidence and trust in a person or in the world itself or in some other opportunity that is maybe not in keeping with God's will. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge as we raise
sometimes
our kids.
Just about yourself.
Absolutely, Dawn. You know, we have our own desires. You know, we have our own belief in who we are. And I think this text speaks to that challenge in our life. Are we ready to give that up? And can we stand strong and trust that what God has in plan for us is beyond greater than we can ever imagine? Now, I go to that song that we've been using in our contemporary worship song, and I think it's Casting Crowns, right? Where we hear the story of Mary, and yeah, it's a Casting Crowns song.
Yeah.
You know, God's plans, he dreams for us. His plans for us are so much greater than ever we can imagine and what we can expect. His strength is such that it's ever greater than we can ever imagine or we can expect. And so I think, you know, that is our issue for the day. You know, can we just trust that because of God's love and his grace, that all things will be fine. All things will end up in a way that brings God glory, in a way that, because of his nature, of his love for us, keeps us whole, regardless of how we believe we want to be whole. And that's the challenge, I think, in all of this.
A friend of mine sent me an article that a gentleman wrote explaining all the reasons why you shouldn't do contemporary service and how contemporary service was just about feeding the flavor of the month so you get butts in the seats and this sort of thing. But I just thought it was so counterproductive, and I thought that you could turn that same thing all the way around and say, here we are, and this is what we feel in our faith is helping us get closer to God, and you people aren't doing it right.
Well, I think
but, I mean, really?
And it's interesting because I was talking to a pastor today about this, Pastor Eric over at Bethlehem, and, you know, the issue of what a worship service really is. And you know, certainly there are contemporary worship services that become a concert, and in that it is a concert as opposed to a form of worship. And sure, all music has a tendency of drawing people in, depending on your style of music that you like. Someone's going to be more inclined to listen to a certain style that draws them into a spiritual mode. And that's important. Music and song is important into any form of worship. But the consideration to lump all contemporary worship into that is really a misnomer. And where I'm going with this is, one of the things that I really enjoy about our version of quote-unquote contemporary service is it is a simple form of worship. And to me, it's more reflective, potentially, of what the early church looked like. And this is what I was talking with him today is, you know, as I go down this path with you, Dawn, and we formed this and started to shape this years ago, and now we keep refining and moving it forward. The issue to me is, what did the early church look like? Even when Jesus was walking the earth and preaching and sharing his message while he was in his ministry,
he didn't have any liturgy.
Right? What was his pathway? What did it look like? It was people gathering around openings in the field. It was people gathering in the corners of synagogues. It was, you know, people gathering wherever they could be. And we look at where the church is. Some of the most dynamic opportunities in church life today are in those small groups that are meeting in concealed rooms so that they don't get hurt by the governments of the world. You know, they hide in their own privacy of their own houses so that they can give worship. And these are small groups that have simplified forms of worship, simplified in the sense that it's a time to draw together in prayer, a time to draw together in discussion and understanding of God's will and God's nature and God's presence among us. And that is simple. It doesn't need to be ornate. It doesn't need to be glorified by other words and other shapes and forms and processes that take us away from spending time in love for God and listening to God's word and trying to absorb his will for our lives. So to me, it's an issue of simplicity. And yes, there are contemporary worship services that go and take that beyond. And I don't look at that as favorable either. But certainly the traditional tech that adds all this human element to it takes us away from that simplicity.
This article also talks a lot about that the services become entertainment, that it's a show, and that you're not participating in it, you're just watching it. And I thought that it can't be any further from what we do.
Well, it's what we do, but it's not what all worship services do, right? It's the way we look at it.
But a traditional service where there's no interaction, how is that? I struggle
I'm gonna suggest too what you were just saying, mm-hmm. though, is that you're talking about this show, if you will. To me, for many forms of worship, it is a show. It is a display. It is a pious
pageantry
of movement and motion and words and other things that hide the word of God.
But they bring wonderful comforts.
Well, I'm not saying that's what I was just about to say. I'm saying it's not that it's not helpful to people's journey. Okay, but to me, the object of worship is to worship, and the way you worship is to understand God's will, God's word, and try to absorb it in any way you can.
I would like opportunity for more conversation with pastors to see what makes sense. You know, to have open dialogue with them to understand what drives traditional.
I'm at a point in time in my life in our ministry, Dawn, where I'm not worried about what other pastors do. You know, if that's where they're called to be and that's what they believe their churches and congregations are doing, that's where they are. I'm going to leave open space for a lot of variety and a lot of opportunity. I'm just going to continue to encourage people to look at the simplicity of our message. And looking at and talking about that today with pastors, one of the simple things about the liturgy that's in there is the direct approach in prayer that we have all throughout. And we stick in very close to existing scripture and guiding us all the way through.
I just think that those interactions are helpful and the conversations are helpful for everyone to better understand each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've run a little bit long. Hopefully this is being, again, we revert to the technology to see if it's all functioning well, and we hope that it's there. We're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart in just a second. But in the meantime, we hope and pray that you have a wonderful week. We hope and pray that you'll continue to support this ministry by listening to the archive and pushing it out to others that may find it opportunistic for you. Again, we'd love to hear from you at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. And of course, you can always like us at Facebook and follow us at Twitter. So have a wonderful evening.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship at this tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.